Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, January 14th, 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 6, verse 22, as far as we've gone, it sounds like this. But now, having been set free from sin, in the singular, from the sin nature. That's retroactive positional truth. That's as far as we've gone. The next word is eleutherao. Looks like that in the Greek, E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-O, long O, eleutherao. This is again the same verb that we had back in verse 18. A couple of things on this verb. One, eleutherao means to be free or to be set free. To be free or to be set free. It was literally used of slaves being set free. Two, it is used in our verse for what happens at salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ. At salvation, the church age believer is positionally set free from the sin nature as the ruler of human life. The a-o ending is causative. The church age believer is caused to be set free from slavery to the sin nature through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth. The preposition apa plus the genitive is from the singular of hamartia, from the sin nature. The rulership of the sin nature over human life begins at physical birth, terminated at salvation positionally through the baptism of the Spirit. The rulership of the sin nature over human life of the believer is experientially set free at spiritual maturity when virtue, love is brought to completion in your heart. So at spiritual maturity, the mind of Christ, the word of God, has replaced human viewpoint garbage and the sin nature and the cosmic system. But now, having been set free from the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, and become servants to God. This is the post-positive conjunction de, plus the aorist passive participle of dulao, plus the dative singular of theos with the definite article. So now we have the post-positive conjunction de used as in a different way. We had it as a transitional de. Now it's, or we had it as a conjunction of contrast before. Now we have it in a different way. Now it's a transitional de. The first time was adversative, meant but. This time it's used as a transitional de, means and, moreover, than, now. And the verb doulao. And I was asked the question, it was a good question, Pastor Olson, how do you get all these things? I said, well, I eat a lot of pizza. And have a nightmare or two and then just write everything down. See? I said, well, it starts with the first. You have to have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. It's a spiritual gift. So first of all, you have to have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Only that gift, combined with the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, can study the Word of God and grow up. You can study your Bibles all you want, but apart from the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, you're not going to grow at all. First, the key is you have to have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Now, unfortunately, there are a lot of men in the ministry that don't even have the gift of pastor-teacher. That's the problem right at the beginning. Secondly, the God, the Holy Spirit, what is his title? Pneuma Aletheia, the Spirit of absolute truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of Bible doctrine. And God the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of absolute truth, combined with the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, God the Holy Spirit, his recalling ministry, his illuminating ministry, his teaching ministry, he teaches that spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, and the combination, spiritual gift, number one, you got to have that. And then the teaching, illuminating, recalling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So you have to be in fellowship. You have to be filled with the Spirit. You can't be out of fellowship operating in with the sin nature and the cosmic system. You have to be in fellowship and then let God the Holy Spirit, his teaching, illuminating, recalling ministry, guide you into what you're studying. Now, we're also commanded, if you have the spiritual gift, prepare for the ministry. Now, the apostles and the Old Testament did not communicate in English. They didn't write in English. In the Old Testament, it's Hebrew and Aramaic. The New Testament, Koine Greek. And therefore, you have to prepare for the ministry. And I can still hear Pastor Breckel, pastor at Bethany Bible Church, the last thing he said to me, Dick, you get all the languages you can get, all the Greek, all the Hebrew you can get. The original autographs are in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. That's what you have to nail and get down. You can't get too much Hebrew. You can't get too much Greek. And not only did he teach that, but Pastor Thiem also came and met with us and told us the exact same thing. You cannot get enough of the languages. So, we're commanded, prepare for the ministry. First, you have to have the gift. Secondly, you have to prepare for the ministry. Now, the hard thing today, it's hard to find a seminary where you can prepare for the ministry and get the languages of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. It's very hard today. And then, with that preparation, see, all of these things that I tell to you that this has an "-o" ending and this is a "-de" used as a adversative and then used in a transitional sense and all of these things, that's from preparing for the ministry. Of course, you do have to be able to talk once in a while. And that combination, and there's lots of times when I start into a passage, I just tell God, I haven't got a clue as to what you're saying here. But I tell him in prayer, before I ever start, it's impossible for me to know you, sir. Impossible for me to know you, know your word, or teach your word. It can only be accomplished by your grace and your power. So I pray and ask for the teaching, illuminating, recalling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Guide me into this passage, what you are trying to say, what you are saying. And I always begin every single time. You cannot have arrogance and be a pastor teacher and think you know everything. You have to have the humility to realize you are absolutely nothing and God is everything. He has graced you out of salvation, giving you a gift of pastor teacher. He's given you the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of absolute truth, the Holy Spirit, and his teaching, illuminating, recalling ministry. You prepare for the ministry and let God lead you and guide you. And while I'm studying, that ministry of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, he will recall passages, other passages, Word of God, and I just go, whoa, wow, oh, that. But that's the Holy Spirit doing all that. Recalls this in this passage, in this book, and in that book. And I start looking, and man, then I get going, oh, wow, this is really awesome. This is really great. This is fantastic. And so that is what goes into it. It's not the person. It's not the individual. It's the spiritual gift that God graciously gives at salvation. God, the Holy Spirit, gives you all a spiritual gift. You all have a spiritual gift. And your spiritual gifts are just as important as my spiritual gift. And all the gifts work in the body as a team. And they work together as a team. And we're a team. And those spiritual gifts only function when you are filled with the Spirit. When you are in fellowship with God, when you're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then your spiritual gift will operate. If you're not, it'll never operate. You're no different than an unbeliever. So, we're a team. But those spiritual gifts that God has given every one of you, at least one, you might have two or three or four. They only operate when you are in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. And the more you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, the more those gifts will operate. And I see them. I see those gifts operate. It's fantastic. And you may not even know what your gifts are. And you don't have to unless you have the gift of pastor, teacher, or evangelist. You don't have to know, but you just need to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you will. It will function. Your spiritual gifts will operate. So, yeah, it's humbling to have the gift of pastor, teacher. And you better realize it's not because of you are. You're nothing. I'm nothing. I know that. I am absolutely nothing. But God is everything. And by his grace and his power, well, I get back there and study, and it very, very great and wonderful. And there's times I'm going, wahoo! Wahoo! This is fantastic! Opening up, and here we go. Dulao! This is... I hope I'm not. I started out repeating everything. Dulao. We haven't done anything with Dulao yet, right? Okay. Thank you. Deacon Brown down here. No. Number one. Number three. One. Dulao. Dulao means to make someone a slave. to enslave, to be a slave, to become enslaved. See, doulos is the noun slave. Doulao is the verb, to make someone a slave, to enslave, to be a slave, to become enslaved. Literally, it means to become a slave to someone. And that someone that we have become a slave to is the greatest, greatest authority. He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. And you ought to thank God every day that you have the privilege of being a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't get any better than that. Two, in our verse it is used figuratively. It is the believer becoming a slave to the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how happy I am that I am the slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have it any other way. The a-o ending on doulao, again, is causative. The church age believer is caused to be enslaved to the Lord Jesus Christ. How? Once again, the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth. We are identified with Christ in his resurrection. We are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords through current positional truth, the baptism of the Spirit. So three, now the church age believer's servitude is to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to the sin nature. How great is that? Now the church age believer's servitude is to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to the sin nature. Four, faith in Jesus Christ establishes the Lord Jesus Christ as the new authority of the church age believer. Faith in Jesus Christ establishes the Lord Jesus Christ as the new authority of the church age believer. Five, through faith in Jesus Christ and resultant union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth, now the Lord Jesus Christ is the head and we are his body. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and we are his royal family. Spiritual aristocracy. And the word for God, theos, T-H-E-O-S, theos, God, but refers to specifically the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the corrected translation, but now, having been set free from sin, the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, and having become enslaved to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth, and now we have the King James, you never know what this, you have your fruit unto holiness. All right, we'll go around. How did that bless your heart? You have your fruit unto holiness. This is the present active indicative of the verb echo plus the accusative singular of karpos with a definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su, plus the prepositional phrase ace, plus the accusative singular of hagiosmos. All right, well, this is why you prepare for the ministry. I feel sorry for these men standing in pulpits A lot of them, some of them have even learned, gone to seminary, learned some Greek and some Hebrew, but they don't use it. And I feel sorry for them, and I feel more sorry for their congregations. We have a very unique, we have a verb echo and a noun karpos, and you get these two together, and it's fantastic. E-C-H long O, echo. Now, literally, echo means to have and to hold or to possess. To have and to hold or to possess. It's the same verb we had back in verse 21. And karpos, the noun, is literally K-A-R-P-O-S. Literally, that means fruit. Now, Arntingenger, the Greek lexicon, page 333, says that when this verb, echo, is used with this noun, karpos, and it's used this way in verse 21 and in verse 22, then it has a special meaning. Specifically, karpos means advantages and benefits. Advantages and benefits. And echo means to have in the sense of to enjoy. To enjoy advantages and benefits. Now in verse 21, there was a question. What advantages, what benefits were you enjoying as an unbeliever? Which demanded the answer, no advantages, no benefits, absolutely none. But now, in verse 22, but now, as a believer, enslaved to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have and enjoy amazing advantages, amazing benefits. You see? And if you haven't prepared for the ministry and just beat your brains out and learning Greek and Greek and Greek and Hebrew and Hebrew and Hebrew, and then take the time to study the original autograph, not the English, you never get this. So now in verse 22, but now as a believer enslaved to the Lord Jesus Christ, you enjoy amazing advantages, amazing benefits. Personal pronoun, Sue, your benefit as a believer, your advantages as a believer. And then the preposition ace plus the accusative singular of hagiosmos, which is the exact same phrase we had back in Romans 6, verse 19. Ace plus the accusative of hagiosmos. Looks like that E-I-S preposition plus the accusative of hagiosmos. H-A-G-A-A-I-A-S-M-O-S. Ace hagiosmos. Same exact phrase we had in verse 19. And therefore it should be correctly translated, resulting in sanctification. Resulting in sanctification. But now, having been set free from the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, and having become enslaved to the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth, you are having your benefits, advantages, resulting in sanctification. All three phases of sanctification. All right. One. Hagiosmos includes all three phases of sanctification. There are three phases. Phase one sanctification is union with Jesus Christ. Positional sanctification is a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Phase two sanctification is the living the unique spiritual life, Romans 6:4, living in newness of life. And as you live the spiritual life of the church age, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Phase three sanctification, ultimate sanctification, and that is we will have a resurrection body and live with the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, forever and ever. So hagiosmos includes all three phases of sanctification. Two, the emphasis is placed on experiential sanctification, walking in newness of life. And we studied that in 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6. But if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, the mandates of God's word, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this, we know, we realize, appreciate, and understand that we are in him. We are abiding in him. Verse 6, the one who claims to abide in Christ is obligated also to keep on walking just as he walked, to keep on walking, living the spiritual life, just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked and lived the spiritual life. So we have an obligation. Three, the great advantage and benefit of being enslaved to the Lord Jesus Christ is having this unique spiritual life of the church age. And then living that unique spiritual life just as the Lord Jesus Christ lived that unique spiritual life in his true humanity. The great advantage and benefit of being enslaved to the Lord Jesus Christ is living the unique spiritual life of the church age. That demands the filling of the Spirit. If you're out of fellowship with God, you're grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit. The only way you can live the spiritual life, it's a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. So we're commanded, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit. You will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So the great advantage and benefit of being enslaved to the Lord Jesus Christ is living the unique spiritual life of the church age, just as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the unique spiritual life in his true humanity. Four, this results in maximum glorification of God and greater grace blessing for time and for eternity. This results in maximum glorification of God. Why are you here? Why are we all here? To glorify God. And that only accomplished as you live the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skill. It has to be by the grace and power of God. It has to be by the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which enables us to consistently and faithfully learn and believe the Word of God. Five, spiritual benefit and blessing comes from being enslaved to the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual benefit and blessing come from being enslaved to the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but now, having been set free from the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, and having become enslaved to the Lord Jesus Christ, current positional truth, now you are having your benefit and advantages resulting in sanctification. All three phases of sanctification. And the end, everlasting life. Well, we'll have to come back for the end next time. And again, I don't know how long I will be out of the saddle. I'm going to be out of the saddle for a while. What we're doing, I've had three aneurysms. Two were repaired. One is to go. The third one is perhaps the most unique and difficult of all of them. They even have called in another doctor on this one. The others, they came up through the arteries in the leg. This one, they got to go through my heart and down. So it's a unique one. And I don't know when I'll be back in the saddle. I'm not even sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say, get back in the saddle. He might say, you're out of the saddle, you're done. And I'll be, yay! If he says, you get back in the saddle, I'll be going, yay. But if he says, get up here, I'll be going, yay, yay, yay. Don't think I'm going to say, no, I don't want to go up there and be face to face with you, sir. Put me back in the saddle so I can see people with no manners, no poise, get up, walk out in the middle of Bible class. That really just makes me feel wonderful. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.